The John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. It's Sherry back in on Monday. Jake here doing double duty. He's going to be on this show and then he does his show. Man, oh man.
It's a busy
night.
People
of the Northwest just can't get enough of you.
7 hours of me. Lucky ducks.
Ducks enjoy you. I looked it up in the city of Seattle. If you're a police officer, even when you're not on duty, off duty, you still have to act in a respectable manner, right?
Yep.
You and uphold the respect and dignity and, you know, be gracious and kind and all this other stuff. You're like, well, I'm not on duty. What does it matter? Well, you do reflect the city. And this has come up a couple of times. So you have to behave in a way that is honorable. And if you're going to have a problem with your neighbor and somebody's been recording the interaction between you and your neighbor, even if it's been going on for a long time, you still have to think, okay, and I'm saying something, and this is, am I acting in a respectable way? Do I uphold the character and the honor that's expected of me as a city employee, as a city count, as a city police officer? So this guy, apparently, this has been going on for a while. He's
yeah.
a Seattle cop. He's a real estate agent. His wife has a job as well. They live in this condominium, and they've been having some problems with their neighbor.
Right? Yes, and okay. I believe this is in Kenmore.
Kenmore.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what happens is where is that? Where'd you put that? Where is that?
SPD calls neighbor.
Oh, there it is, right top. Okay. So this has been going on for a while. I guess the neighbor recorded it. This story happened in last year, and finally it has come out because an organization has filed a complaint against the police officer with the city. The stranger picked it up, and then now you can listen to the recording.
And the feud was over dogs. The allegation was that the cop and his wife were letting their dog run around without a leash, and that like created a rift, and then it just got worse and worse and escalated to this.
And then the police officer's wife, I believe, think that the neighbors put chicken bones out
right.
on the shared patio, hoping the dog would eat the chicken bones and therefore kill the dog, which can happen if a dog gets a chicken bone.
But okay. Again, this is in August of 2022,
yeah.
And that's where we have the audio.
All right, so here you go. You ready?
Now you're all pissed off.
This is your
like,
niece.
Go f*** yourself.
This is her niece. I respect you.
Is her.
You own here. You
own
here.
And if you think that's
here.
What I'm dumb f***ing
I don't know.
Lots of cursing. Get it? Got it. Okay, thank you.
There was a lot of cursing in that. It's just one of those.
It went by so fast.
Yeah, it went by really fast. We could have just played one
long. I
think
the people are yelling next to her. I don't know what they're saying. There's a lot of beeping going on.
Did I miss one?
Could have just played one long beep. No, we're good.
Okay, so now because it has gotten to the attention of the police department and to the city, this guy is on administrative leave?
Yes. Chief Diaz reviewed the audio that the stranger had and looked into it and said, we're going to put this guy on temporary paid leave.
Right. They're also bringing up, because he'd used a racial slur, a derogatory term to refer to his Asian neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And some other swear words as well. So for this guy, the city will say, you know, this is not how we restore trust between the community or whatever. He's upset with his neighbor. I'm not defending it. If you know you're a cop and the person's going to videotape it, you know if that person's going to make it go public and then it's going to cause you a whole bunch of problems, right?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, and I'm not, again, not, I don't know enough about the relationship between the two people, but I can tell you something. If you've got a dog, and for people that have dogs, we'll get this. People that don't, they're not like, really? But if you have a problem with your neighbor, and you've got a dog, and you think your neighbor might have done something to your dog or attempted to do something to your dog, it's like they've done something for a lot of people. It's like they've done something to their kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it'll make you mad fast. So I don't know. If I were sitting there as a judge hearing both sides of the story, you'd want to find out, did somebody attempt to do something to the dog?
It's really tough because obviously we don't have that information. We don't know.
Only him saying
only
that chicken bones were left out there.
That's what they were saying.
Okay.
But that, I mean, it makes it really tough. The other thing that, like you mentioned at the beginning, is he is a police officer. He's a Seattle police officer. He knows that he needs to withhold or hold himself to a certain standard and he could get in trouble. So this, you know, they take it very seriously. Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz has since came out and he said, after looking into this, he said, we clearly have more work to do to build trust between the department and the people we serve. And that's when he made the announcement that they were going to put this guy on administrative leave.
Okay, you know what? That's just garbage talk. Because this is one person talking to another person and having a problem.
And again, he is off duty. It's not like he was in uniform.
I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they need to do then is they say, okay, little good officer Burton Hill's record. And they say, okay, how long has this guy been serving for? How many complaints against him? Is there a pattern of discrimination? Does he treat one group of people differently than another group? Does it show up while he's on the job? Right? Because you can lose your cool. You can scream and yell at your neighbor. You can really go at it. And if it's been going on for a while, this could be a long storied history of problems between these two neighbors. That happens often. I'm just saying is, does it show up in his work? And is he under some sort of undue stress? And is he yelling at the neighbor and whatever the reason is? But you'd have to now they're going to investigate to find out, are a lot of charges against this guy? Does he treat people differently than other people? And if you start to see that, you're like, okay, then this is a bad apple. He's got to go.
You know what's interesting about this? You could draw some comparisons to that recent case we talked about last week with Seattle police officer, Officer Daniel Otterer.
Yeah.
Where he is caught on a microphone saying something that wasn't intended to be portrayed to the world. And what standard do we hold him to? Again, in that case, he was talking to his superior after going to the scene of a horrible accident where a civilian died. She wasn't at any fault. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he says some very insensitive things that a police officer says.
And why, according to him?
Because he was mimicking in his part of the conversation. He said he was mimicking what the city's attorneys would be saying when they tried to not pay this woman's family for the value of her life. That's what he claims. But again, it's caught off camera. It's caught. He's caught on video saying something that he shouldn't have said, or maybe saying in a way that it's not portrayed well.
Yeah.
But this other guy that we're talking about right now, he's having a fight with his neighbor. I mean, they're two very different stories, obviously. But the guy fighting with his neighbor, I do think we can ask ourselves, like, would you ever yell those types of things at your neighbor, even if you thought they did something to your dog?
I'd have to say something. If somebody tried to poison your dog or shoot your dog, right? And out of whatever the reason is, you got some problem with the dog. It's for a lot of people, it's like their kid. Would I lose it and scream and yell at these people? I don't only use the words that this guy was using, but again, you're catching up in the middle of the scene.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden turn the television on. It's like 20 minutes into a show. It's like, why are they so mad at one another? Something must have happened prior. But the problem is, there are no saints.
Yeah, we're
no, there
only
are no saints. Everybody,
glimpse.
Right? Listen, everybody reacts to different things, right? So again, is this something that happens all the time? Do you have a problem with stress? Do you have a problem with anger? And is this being manifested on a daily basis where you're like a ticking time bomb going out into the public? Then you've got a problem because now the city's going to be responsible for the fact that you're pushed over to the edge, right? You're on 10 or 11, whatever the number is. But I can tell, I don't know this, but I will speak to as a pet owner. When people start messing with your dog, possibly to poison, possibly to hurt the dog or something, man, you just want to unload on those people.
So I think the thing that people are saying, and the question I think people are having, like that Officer Otterer audio where he says he's mimicking the Seattle City attorneys, there's a levity in his voice, a disconnect with what has just happened. And in this guy's case, he's saying things that even if he's passionately, you know, defending his dog's life to these neighbors that he says, we're doing something with the chicken bone, I guess.
Yeah.
Are those the kinds of people that we want in service? Like, are those the kind of people we want as police officers? Do they represent us well?
So you want only saints? You don't want people that don't lose their temper with their neighbors if their neighbor's trying to poison their dog. You don't want anybody who is speaking not knowing that it's being recorded, talking to their superior and imitating a lawyer. The bigger question is this: how do you react and interact with the public while you're on the job? Right. I remember working as a waiter. You go back there in the kitchen and you're just cursing a blue streak about the four top and how horrible they're treating you.
And you come back out, awful and you're people. All smiles.
Absolutely, come
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And you, there you go. And there's a very nice. Can I get anybody a cappuccino? Right. And you withhold, not doing anything weird to their food, but you're just like, I hate that four top. I can't stand that. And you vent in there, but then you go out there. So as far as the owner's concerned, you're doing the job. You're treating the people with respect. You're doing the service. You're probably not saying, these people, whether it's that guy who happened to be recorded, one, the neighbor, or the other guy in the car talking to Solon, how do they behave?
On the job.
On the job.
Yeah.
What's their job? Someone making some stupid remark or making some stupid joke. Does that come into play when they're on the street? Because let me tell you something. Let's stick a microphone in someone's private space, like a city council member, and let's hear what they say. And then if you catch it, then take them and put that on the air and then play that over and over again. Let's put microphones everywhere so we can catch a whole bunch of people saying stuff that... Oh my God, I can't believe they'd say that.
Yeah. No, right? And you're not wrong. I mean, like, you are correct. These people are not saints. They didn't sign up for their jobs.
How do they do the job? How are they on the job? How do they treat the other person?
Yeah. And if we all had a microphone connected to us,
nobody would want that.
Nobody would want that. And obviously, you and I are sitting here. This is the job we signed up for. We literally, our jobs have a microphone.
But I tell you something, when I looked down, like about 15 minutes ago, Andrew's really good at this, but if that microphone were on, and I was saying something to you earlier.
Yeah.
I looked down just for a moment and thought, oh boy, if that went over the air.
No, and I've had that a million times in here. We're in here all the time. And if there's all the time, when we're off commercial break, just so people know, we have to discuss stories and we have to quickly figure out what we're going to say in the next segment. So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Well, Andrew, occasionally about 7 or 8 years ago, I looked down and I said, I hit it and I said, that go over the air? And you said, it did, but I don't remember that.
I think so. There's been a couple instances like that. A
couple times where all of a sudden, because I control my own button, and then...
And I'm supposed to check to make sure that it's also off.
And you're like, oh, did that go over? Did that go over the air? Because that's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But how do you do when you're doing the job?
Well, that's what now they're going to look into. This officer has been placed on paid leave.
Listen, he's going to get screwed.
He's been placed on paid leave.
No, he's a racist. He says this and says that.
I agree with you. I don't think that's what they're going to do. A fast road back for him to.
Can I add one caveat? And I agree with everything you're saying. If somebody attacked my dog, the likelihood of me breaking the law and physically attacking that person to whatever ends that was necessary is 99% to 100%. But I'm not going to drop the slur that this guy used.
Wait, show. I lost you. You lost me. 99%, 100%. What the hell are you talking about? If somebody screws with your dog.
If somebody screws with my dog,
violence
is on the table. Violence is on the table. But I'm not going to call him the N-word. I'm not going to call him the C-word.
I'm just going to let my fist do the talking.
Because that does say something about somebody.
Wouldn't
you agree?
Yes. But you're backing me up on the fact that that dog, you love that dog.
Absolutely.
What's your dog's name?
Delhart.
So Delhart and you, that dog it's got a part of your heart. And if you were to see your neighbor kick your dog,
right,
you would go out there and go just ape crap on that.
Absolutely.
You don't understand that?
No, I don't have a dog. I have kids.
You know what? Hold on. That doesn't count. You know why you don't have a dog? Because you don't deserve a dog. All right? Did that go over the air? Sorry.
Mama.
Cut that.
Yeah. But you get it.
No, I get it. But I wouldn't have called him.
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's too easy.
No. I just think that this guy obviously was caught on camera saying something. I'm sure he wishes now he hadn't said it, but it does give us an insight into what his character might be, that he's willing to say these types of things. The things that he says to this woman, never in a million years would I ever say. If there was a camera on, if there was a camera off, I assume this was picked up on a Ring cam or something like that. How do we even have this audio? I don't know.
I'm guessing their feud escalated to the point where the
people
neighbor,
are recording
they
it?
Decided, you know what, this time I'm going to get him on tape.
I just think, like, when somebody says something like that, I question their mental, I mean, like, and this is just my personal speculation. I don't know anything about the guy.
When was the last time you lost your temper and screamed at somebody? I mean, went just nuts on somebody.
I'm a fairly reserved person.
You're a bore. Last time on a stranger. Last time you screamed at a stranger.
At a stranger?
Yeah.
Could they hear me, or was I, like, in the car just yelling to myself?
Ask me, John.
You know what? whatever you say.
Okay, yeah. I can't remember the last time I just unloaded
the other
on a stranger.
Ticking time bomb over
there.
I mean,
listen. I live on First Hill. I scream at people daily.
I'll point a stern finger at someone if I'm driving in the car and they cut me off or something.
Oh, and then you say tisk tisk,
and I let them know
a stern finger.
And I'll pull up next to them
and be like,
I'll make eye contact with them. I won't break eye contact with them not for too long, because I'm driving, obviously.
Right. And your eyes get all watery.
Yeah, but, and I'm not going to break the law in order to do that. I'm going to observe the speed limit, but I let them know that I realize that they have done me wrong, and then I'll move on, and I'll put it out of my head, and I'll move on. Because you know what? If I'm holding on to that, that's just ruining my day. They're not actually going to learn a lesson.
Okay. All right.
Is that answer your question?
Yeah, not well, but it does.
Okay.
I'm staring you down right now.
Point is, I should get a dog, is the point?
At least two. They don't like to be alone.
That and a buffalo. Okay, wow. We handle that? Let's see. Check. Jason Rantz, Troublemaker, is going to come in. Let's see how many times we can get him to say the name of his book. Andrew Betts, how many times will he say it?
He'll say it five times.
You say five.
How
many times will he say it?
We're going to try to prompt him to get it to
say
it.
Eight? You eight.
Is this involuntarily, or are we just
going to try to get... We've got to get to the number. How many?
All right. I think we can get him to say it nine times.
Okay, I'm going to go four until he catches on. All right, we'll see what happens. All right, check with Nate over there, who hasn't read a book yet. But if he did, I'm sure it would be a bestseller. There we go, got it. Jason Rantz joins us in the studio. We have a song just for you. I don't really know that, Jason Rantz. Andrew, you got that?
More seamless this time around.
That's right. Hit it! Troublemaker, because every time we play one of your stories, we steal one of your stories, we're like, oh boy, look out, he's stirring stuff up. One of the most hated men in Seattle, and now across across the country, because you can see you on Fox all the time. I'm a fan. I haven't bought the book because I'm just waiting to be able to just have it given to me. But What's Killing America? Could you sum it up in six pages as What's Killing America? Or did you really need to go more than 300?
I had to go more than 300. A big part of this is because people don't recognize what's actually behind the crises that are hitting this country. And it started in big Democrat-run cities. It's been driven by the radical left. Not Democrats, but the radical members within the Democrat Party. And for the longest time, and I remember this when I was doing nights here on Cairo, we would get text messages from people saying, I am leaving Seattle. I'm moving to Sumner or Monroe or wherever because I just can't take it anymore. And now those same people are texting, oh, my God, it's here in my neighborhood. Because it doesn't just stay in cities like Seattle or San Francisco, New York or Atlanta. It spreads. And unfortunately, lots of people know something's wrong. They can see it. They can feel it. But they don't always know the why.
Okay.
And they don't know the motivation behind policies that end up getting implemented. And so I needed to do 368 pages. But that also includes notes.
You have a question about Jason Rantz's book? Why you seem sort of off-put by Jason Rantz being in here?
No, I'm not off-put.
I sense tension.
No, there's no tension.
Okay.
I love Jason. Jason's
buddies.
A dear friend.
He's
great friends. In fact, we're better friends than you are.
Are we alone? Wow.
It's true. Truth hurts, man.
Truth hurts.
You're too old. You're out of my demographic. I'm better friends with Jake.
Where can people, if people want to find, and the name of the book again, for anyone who wants to find it?
It's What's Killing America, Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities.
And where can people buy it? So people listening right now, and when does it come out?
It comes out officially on Tuesday. You can buy it Amazon.com, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, wherever it is you buy, wherever fine books are sold.
Yes.
Do you want to ask a question, Jason Rantz?
That's the title. One more time.
What's Killing America, Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our City?
Did you know what was killing America before you started writing the book? As you started doing research, you're like, ooh, I see it's this particular thing.
It was the work that I've been doing both on my show but also on Fox, covering stories all across the country, when I discovered, oh, wow, it's quite literally the same policies and just slightly written differently.
Okay, here's the question I have. We know that Godzilla goes into the city and he's crushing all the buildings. He doesn't mean to, but he's angry about something. I don't know what got him all upset. I think he came out of the earth for something. what is the organization or the person that is pulling all of these strings and funding all these causes, and what is ultimately their desire?
Well, it's the ideology. It's not necessarily the person, although you can very clearly point to folks like a George Soros, who truly is funding a lot of the efforts on the ground, especially around criminal justice reform. But it's the ideology. When you view things through a lens that is obsessed with identity and obsessed with institutions, and you're looking at things of saying, well, this institution is marginalizing this group of people. I'm a hero. They're usually white people who are doing this. I'm going to stand up for the BIPOC community against white supremacy. That's really what's driving a lot of what's been going on, but also just a general hero complex. Because I don't only talk about crime and homelessness and drugs. I get into housing. I get into transportation. I get into education. And, you know, you've got a bunch of people who think they know better than absolutely everyone else. And rather than actually engage in a debate, a conversation with people, they just say, no, we're going to shut these people down. We're going to shut them up, and we're going to impose our will on folks.
When you were doing your research on the book and all the different cities that you cover, were you surprised at how similar every city's problems seemed to be?
I was surprised that the policies were so similar. The crises themselves, we know that there's a crime crisis, for example. We know that it's hit Seattle as hard as it's hit San Francisco and New York. But then when you go in and you can say, oh, wow, I can literally connect the dots to these so-called criminal justice reforms, or the reason why housing is so expensive in Seattle is the same way it's expensive in New York and the same way it's expensive in D.C., quite literally you can point to the same policies. And that the good news there is you can always reverse the policies. The bad news is you got to find out who's responsible for them. You have to be able to sort of read between the lines and understand the code words, the language that the left uses. And then you've got to start to shift the culture back towards some bit of sanity. We created this culture of lawlessness. And no matter what bill you end up overturning, it's not going to just happen overnight that people start to follow the law again.
Is it ultimately the destruction of capitalism? Ibram X. Kendi had said that you stop discrimination by using discrimination, and ultimately it is the destruction of capitalism because capitalism itself is got a racist core. So all of these policies, George Soros and other, is it really trying to get more to a socialist Marxist position because capitalism by itself is innately already toxified?
It's very clear that when you look at where they take their motivation and inspiration, it comes from Marxism. I don't get into Marxism per se. I instead use radical left because I don't think the average person knows what Marxism is. I don't think they can define it. In fact, I don't even think the activists can truly define what that is.
Right.
So I look at it in simpler terms. Here's what motivates them. Here's how they think about the world and how they think about these separate issues that I cover in What's Killing America Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our City, available on Tuesday. And that's how we go about the book.
Do you answer it? At the end, if you say this is the problem, do you give the answer? Like,
every
single
chapter, every single issue, I give examples of what has worked in the past that we're no longer doing because of the radical left, or things we are doing in certain parts of the country that do work. For example, in Albuquerque, they had a great idea, and it's very simple when it comes to homelessness. We're giving people jobs. A bunch of people said to the mayor at the time, who's a Republican mayor, said, I just want to work. That's all I want to do. So he went back into his office and he got his staff together and said, what can we do about this? And he created a program in which a van would go around, pick people up who are homeless, have them clean litter off the streets. And for the first time in a long time, they were actually getting a paycheck at the end of that week. And for some of them, were like, man, I actually feel like I have some value again. Now, is that going to work for everyone? No, it's not going to work for someone who's mentally ill, for example. But not everyone out on the streets mentally ill, and they do have some skills, and sometimes you just need to nudge them in the right direction. And then if you give them some support afterwards, well, guess what? You can actually come to a solution for these people.
So Albuquerque is kind of a shining example of a city that can do
– Not anymore.
It was.
Okay. As soon as that guy left office, it started to change.
So are there any other cities that – that kind of rise to the top of the list that are doing it right?
Yes, it's more that there are programs that are working better than others. I don't know if I would point to one city because then someone, well, what about this issue? So no city is going to be perfect. But I think when you see on homelessness, for example, a carrot and stick approach that's being used, I actually focus a lot on Marysville in this book because they do things really, really well there. And when it comes to drug use and homelessness, John Nehring, the mayor, he has taken on a very simple approach. You break the law, I'll give you two options if this is driven by addiction. You go into treatment or you're going into jail. He's now implementing that even further, or will, with the three strikes.
Mm-hmm.
He's going one step further because what he's done to this point has actually yielded some really good results.
To me, the sort of general beginning of the conflicts of all this stuff and the ideology slides in there is that there's the victim and the victimizer. Every single story that you hear coming from the left is victim, victimizer. And then whenever that space is created, then the government needs to come in order to right the wrongs. So the rich against the poor, the rich taking from the poor, the rich only get richer and the poor get poor, or a black against white and 400 years of oppression and righting wrongs from 400 years ago, and that the victim and then the victimizer. And often the victim, especially when it's coming from the point of view from a white liberal, is almost like there is the there's this sort of built-in bias where they just assume that that person is a victim because they're making a bunch of assumptions based upon race.
They're white saviors.
Yeah.
They're literal white knights who are coming to the rescue of the marginalized community. And you can tell that they're heroes because it's on their lawn sign where it tells you what this house stands for. Like, they're virtue signaling to an incredible degree. And oftentimes they don't even expect to be victimized themselves by the unintended consequences of policies that they take on. Immigration is a perfect example of this. If anything, out of the immigration chapter in this book, one of the council members from Denver, when they were announcing back in 2018 their sanctuary city policy, just read his speech, which goes something like this. We are here. We were made for this moment in this building on this day, in this day of history, to push back as heroes, to stand up for injustice. And then a few years later, they're shipping people who are migrants to New York and Chicago.
The book is called
What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. It's out by Center Street Publishing, great publisher.
How's the picture of you in the back?
It was pretty good. I actually kind of like it. I didn't bring the book in with me. It looks like this.
We were trying to pick how many times you would say the name of the book.
I got four.
Jacob said, or no, Aaron said, I mean, Andrew said five. Joe said eight.
Joe cheated, though.
No, you cheated.
There was no rule that said I couldn't ask you.
We were allowed to gild the lily.
Yeah,
and then Jake said nine.
Just to be
fun. You said nine times.
Four.
Who won? Say you what's killing America.
Too late.
I wasn't successful.
All right, there we go. Here we go. The mailman's coming. Oh, boy. He's got lots and lots and lots of
boots
on. Thank you.
I'm the mailman.
Letters.
As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess
your
with me.
Your mama
I'm
the was mailman. Complaining. Did you see that scene when you were a kid? What, do you know that joke on that one, Joe Mama?
Joe Mama.
Yeah, Joe. So like, Joe. Hey, Joe always wanted to talk to you the other day. And they're like, Joe who? Joe Mama.
Oh, yeah. Joe Mama.
Do you remember that?
That was the fakest laugh I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was.
Honestly, do you remember? Did you see that as a kid?
Joe Mama?
Yeah.
No, of course not. When do you think I was a... No, when was that? What year?
I must have faded out.
It's like Yo Mama. It's a joke for an era.
That was good material for me when I was coming along.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, by the way, Joe called. He wanted to ask you for a second.
Joe who?
Joe Mama!
Yeah. Oh,
there you go. All right, we'll get to letters today. First, take care of all the rest. Didn't make any sense then. It doesn't now. But
no,
anyway.
It doesn't. That still doesn't.
Go ahead. Hit it.
Camping bans. There's a simple solution to homeless encampments under freeways and overpasses. Install sprinklers on the bottom of the freeways and overpasses and effectively rain out those spaces. This is why the camps populate in those areas to begin with to get out of the rain. Eliminate that benefit of those spaces and you will eliminate the camps.
When talking about getting a buffalo for some, Tom Dent from the 13th said, yeah, you should get a buffalo. So 206 says, yeah, totally get a buffalo. Okay. Thank you. You know, I get, because 206,
boy, these
such
are great
sales job.
These are great.
I got to ever not say no to that.
Let's see what Goodfellas has to say about buffaloes. Buffaloes, like cows, make friends with certain other buffalo. Herd animals do need company.
See?
It's good to know.
Vonnie in the 206, give me a home where the buffaloes roam. That will require one big litter box.
Mike, the weed entrepreneur versus Sawant.
What's wrong with you?
206 says, Mike has found out, unfortunately, the hard way that these Marxist, communist, socialists like Sawant are just using the races as pawns to advance racial agenda.
That's right.
Radical agenda, sorry.
Put that in your book.
That's right.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day. You get a chance to do it, Jake.
All right, let's do it. Letter of the day. Mm-hmm. Mr. 425 says, on Jake's no depressing news on Friday rule...
Which wasn't even a rule.
You should really save the most depressing news for the 5 o'clock hour and then top it off with a nice, can we say that? Yeah, a nice juicy fart sound. That's what he says.
Don't.
I think I'm doing damage to my digestive system.
This is a classy. I thought this was a classy show.
Andrew.
Joe Mama.
Stupidest thing.
I think he wrote that in. I think he said that.
Oh, my God. But he's like, if I get through the entire show without that, then see, there it is again.